Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, such a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember that we ask people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. By God's grace, this broadcast and the work of the Christian Research Institute is transforming lives around the globe. So we thank you for your support, prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up, Javier, listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Javier.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I'm new to the faith. I go to a small church, Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy who sings in our church. He's like the main guy who does all the singing, all the worship. But everybody knows, the pastor knows, that he had a wife and he left her and got with another lady from another church. My question is, do I say something and walk away, or do I just walk away because everybody knows already?
Well, I think the latter might be the right thing to do, because it sounds like a very dysfunctional church. If everyone from the pastor on knows about it and is not willing to do anything about it, and you've talked to the pastor about that, and they just won't allow immorality to continue, and there be no form whatsoever of church discipline, then I don't think that this is a healthy environment in which to worship God, experience oneness with others, and be equipped to go out and impact a lost and searching world. And also, I think it's really important that if a brother is sinning, and this is a general principle, it's applied in Matthew chapter 18 with someone sinning against you, but I think the principle applies that you should go and show him or her the fault just between the two of you, and if they listen to you, then you've won your brother. But if they don't listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if they refuse to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen to the church, then you recognize them for what they are. You treat them like, in biblical vernacular, a pagan or a tax collector, which was saying someone who has no morality whatsoever and hardly should be considered a vital reproducing member of a healthy, well-balanced church, much less a leader in that congregation.
Okay. And I don't know if you have time. I got a small question.
Yep.
When I was 8 years old, I got abused by this teenager that lives next door. And all my life was full of crime and gang-related. I always had this feeling that somebody's always been protecting me. I don't know. I think it was God, but I don't know if he was saying, because every time I did a crime or something, I used to always get away with it. Is it true that someone is abused, demons pass from one person to the other one?
No, there's no such thing as a generational curse. Every person is responsible for their own sin, and what you can deal with now is your own circumstance. You can't say the devil made you do it, but you can say that you were one who was part of the kingdom of darkness, and now you have come into the kingdom of light. And as one who has come into the kingdom of light, the King himself indwells you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you now have the Holy Spirit within you. And therefore, the Holy Spirit within you is transforming you or sanctifying you day by day. You're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But that, again, doesn't happen by osmosis, it happens through means. And those means are you get into the Word of God, you get the Word of God into you, you develop intimacy with your Lord and Savior through prayer. You get involved in a church as a reproducing disciple maker that knows how to communicate what you believe and why you believe what you believe. When you partake of those biblical principles, you become transformed through those biblical principles. And then you also have, and this is not an also like an add-on, but this is a main and plain thing, you have Christ's nature within you, which is to say that Christ himself, as I mentioned at the very beginning, indwells you. Your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be attentive to the Christ that dwells within. If we're not, it's like having a light bulb disconnected from the electrical current. If we do, then the light bulb is switched on and you become a participant in the divine nature, as Peter puts it in his second book.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your time.
You get it. Thank you for your call, Javier. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carla. She's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Hank. This is Bishop Pearl's wife. How are you?
Oh, hi, Carla. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Hey, I have a question. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
I guess, as you know, pretty much all my loved ones and my friends are steeped in Mormonism. And I know that they love God and they love Jesus and think they're, you know, going to see them and be with them, but it's the wrong God and the wrong Jesus. Is there any hope for them?
Well, here's the thing, Carla. God says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek after me will find me. And certainly you can say this in your own life. You are diligently seeking after God. You love truth more than tradition. I mean, I remember the story, and I remember you really well, being with you and your sister and your husband. But I remember how much you were willing to follow truth, even though when your husband became a believer, you didn't want to leave your comfort zone, your tradition, but you loved truth more than anything else. And because you did, God revealed himself to you. And that is the prayer for your loved ones as well, you know, that they will come to a true valuation of things. Now, I certainly believe that it's not the absence of truth that ultimately damns, it's the despising of truth that ultimately damns. And there is a sense in which sometimes we are in ignorance, we are seeking God, and we don't have a true valuation of all things. And if you look at the Old Testament, Carla, you can imagine that there are Old Testament figures that don't have the kind of knowledge that you have about the coming of Jesus Christ, because Christ had not yet come. So they looked forward to the coming of Christ through types and shadows. They saw it, as it were, dimly. They didn't see it as clearly as you now see it, because Christ has come. So they, though, looked forward in faith to the coming sacrifice. They looked forward through types and shadows, and they were saved by that faith. So Abraham, though he doesn't see as clearly as we do because Christ hadn't come, he was called in Scripture a friend of God. So I think it's important to realize that, again, it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. The real issue is what Jesus was talking about, Carla, when he was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In other words, it wasn't that there wasn't enough light, that they couldn't be shown the light. It was because they wanted to remain in darkness. And that's the plight of most people. In the meantime, while you can't judge anyone's heart, whether a loved one or anyone else, what you can do is pray for your loved ones, very much like Earl prayed for you before you came to faith in Christ.
Right. Now, what if they die and they're still believing in the wrong God? You know, it says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ. Can they do that at the white throne judgment and be saved?
It is appointed unto a human being once to die, and after that the judgment. So the decision is made before you die. But remember, okay, Carla, you can leave your loved ones in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, and then just rest in that, which is to say that if God loves you with an everlasting love, and as you've gotten to know him, you know just how great his love is. If he loves you that much, if he is a God of infinite love and justice, then you can with great peace leave your loved ones in his hands, knowing that the King of the universe will do right on the day of judgment. In fact, when you are there, you will know that his judgments are not only completely just, but also wonderfully merciful. So leave your loved ones in the hands of an infinitely just, infinitely merciful God. Pray for them. And again, thank you for calling, Carla. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you. And that really helps me a lot. I appreciate that, Hank. And we love listening to your show.
Thank you so much. Love to your whole family. That was one of the great highlights of being in Salt Lake City, Utah, with a former Mormon bishop and his wife, who are now followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a great privilege. Be right back with more.
Hank Hanegraaff's most personal book ever, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is a vulnerable voyage detailing Hank's pilgrimage from a life devoted to a defense of truth because truth matters, to his discovery that life matters more. Are you ready to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life? To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jordan, listening in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Jordan.
How you doing, Hank? I just want to say that I appreciate your program. I had a question. I studied a little bit on the historic point of view in eschatology, and it looks pretty convincing in some aspects, but I wanted to know if there were any flaws to you, because I know that you're premillennial and things like that, but I would just like to get your insight on that.
Well, I'm not premillennial, but in terms of your question, if you look at the prologue to the book of Revelation, Jesus makes clear there that what the letter concerns are things that must soon take place. And John makes clear that the time is near, and therefore to suggest that Thyatira is the papacy or Sardis is the Protestant Reformation is, from my perspective, an unwarranted allegorical imposition on the biblical text. So I think it's wrongheaded to suggest that Revelation symbolizes seven consecutive historical eras from the apostolic church in Ephesus to the apostate church in Laodicea. Again, the reason is because Revelation is dealing with those things that are soon to take place. And therefore, while Revelation isn't written to us, it most certainly is written for us. We can say the same thing, though, about any book of the Old Testament or New Testament. We can say, for example, the book of Romans. It wasn't written to us, but certainly is written for us. We can say the same thing about 1 Corinthians. It was written to the Corinthian congregation. But while it was written to them, it is applicable for us as well.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
You got it. And I think one of the things that is very important is to note that Revelation is identified as a letter sent from John to seven churches in the province of Asia. And the fact that the number seven is biblically imbued with a sense of completeness or wholeness should immediately alert us to the reality that Revelation is relevant to the whole church throughout the whole of history. And while seven is used symbolically throughout the whole of Scripture, there is no warrant for the mythology that is being forwarded today that the seven churches in the province of Asia are symbolic of seven phases of the spiritual history of the church, let's say from AD 96 to the end, and in that precise order, as it is sometimes said. Nowhere in Revelation is there any indication that John has 2,000 years of church history in mind. Want to go back to the phone lines. John next, listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, John.
Hey, I was originally going to ask you about, and I still can, about when Paul talks to Timothy about not just drinking water, but drinking wine to ease the stomach. What do you think about that, and what does that mean?
Well, Paul is saying that Timothy should have wine for medicinal reasons because he had stomach problems. And it's also undergirding a bigger principle, and that is there's nothing wrong with having some wine, but there is something desperately wrong with being drunk. And so if you look at the admonition of Scripture, we're told that we shouldn't drink too much wine and we shouldn't gorge ourselves on meat. And the reason is given by Solomon as drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. So we shouldn't be gluttons and we shouldn't be wine bibbers. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. That doesn't mean you shouldn't eat. It doesn't mean you can't have some wine, but you certainly should not get drunk and you shouldn't be obese. You shouldn't overeat.
Right on, Hank. Thanks, man.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Eric next, Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I've had better days, man. I've spoken with you several times before, and you helped me back then, but, man, I've got some serious questions.
Okay.
How can I know my faith is real? Man, I've been having a tremendous struggle with, like, sexual sin really throughout my whole entire adult life, man, and continuously fornication, and I just... seems like I just cannot get past it. I can have some strength and victories for a few months, but I always go back. And I just, my faith feels dead. A lot of times for me to find God's will, I have to talk to different pastors in my churches, and it's like I can never find God's will for my own. It's like I don't want to be the one who at the end says, we did not prophesy in your name and cast out demons, and you say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a practical question. Are you part of a church?
Yes. I probably should be going to be more of a part of it, but my work and schedule just makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and I think you said rightly that you think you need to be more a part of it. And what that means is, despite your schedule, you have to make time for having some kind of accountability within the body of Christ, because when one falls, there has to be someone to pick that person up. So there has to be an accountability network. You can't go the Christian life alone. We weren't designed to go the Christian life alone. Not only does Paul make that clear in the book of Romans, but this is clear throughout the entirety of Scripture. When you're baptized into a community of faith. And when we partake of the elements, we're partaking of them in community. So communion isn't an individualistic process. It is what is done in community. So what is so important is that you are vulnerable to a pastor or a mature brother or group of brothers within the context of the church, so that when you fall, when you struggle, you have somewhere to go. Because, I mean, we can all live secret lives. There has to be transparency, and that transparency has to be done with wisdom. You don't just become transparent to everyone. You can't trust everyone. But within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, you can find, as it were, not comrades, but true Christian brothers and sisters that you can identify with, learn from, and that can be there with you in the midst of your struggles. Also, there's something, I don't know if I've told you about the game plan. It was written by Joe Dallas, and Joe Dallas knows of where you're coming from. He knows it better than anyone that I know of. And he wrote this book called The Game Plan, The Men's Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. That's a book that I think is extraordinarily helpful. It's a book that I really encouraged him to write. It's a book that I endorse, and I think it's extraordinarily helpful for you, as it has been for other people. If you don't have it, this is a book that I would definitely get.
Yeah, I've heard you speak about it before, so I just need to go ahead and get that book for sure.
Yeah, I think it'd be so helpful to you. What this book acknowledges is that countless men's lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It infects, it corrupts, it devastates, it ends up destroying relationships and families and lives. And everywhere men turn today, there is sexual temptation. It's very prevalent. It's more prevalent now than it's ever been with the internet and with the tools at our disposal. So it's so easy to get caught in the trap of sexual sin. And it takes more than a little effort for men to resist the temptation. It takes a plan. And that's what this book offers. So it's not a trite solution. It's not a quick fix. It's a plan. And that plan, I think, can be very efficacious in your life.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Hank. If people listening could pray for me, I'd appreciate that as well.
You got it, Eric. And, you know, I can tell you for certain that there will be a lot of people praying for you. This happens every single time that someone becomes vulnerable on the program like you just have. People end up praying. And we do believe that prayer is firing the winning shot. The book that I'm talking about, again, is A Plan for Getting Back, where the battle for sexual integrity can be won once and for all. And of course, I said this many times on the broadcast, Joe Dallas is an experienced counselor, and he lays out a positive strategy for overcoming harmful sexual addiction. And he draws from his own hard-earned lessons. And what he provides is based on biblical principles and practices. The method is innovative, but yet simple, and powerfully equips those men who have been caught up in pornography, extramarital affairs, any form of sexual sin. Again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. My endorsement on the back of this book says, no one understands the subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblically and user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity. It's a resource that no one should be without, particularly if you're struggling in this area. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We do covet your prayers. As I said to Eric, prayer is firing the winning shot. And if you can support this ministry financially as well, it would make such a difference in reaching people around the world. Thanks again for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.